Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy, crime, LGBT thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
We are back, and joining us now from the Dead Files, Steve DeShavi. Thank you for taking time to be on the show today.
Oh, thanks, Al. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you pronouncing my name correctly, too, by the way.
That's years of doing it, I guess. Okay, so let's talk about it. Now, you've been on the Dead Files now. It's been a show, and I guess you're filming season 9, and 8 is about to start.
Yeah, currently.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Did you expect that kind of, I guess, success or that kind of long... lasting from the show? Like, did you expect this?
No, as a matter of fact, when I did the first season, I was still working full-time for Merrill Lynch, and it was a tough deal. You know, I was filming while working, which was a crazy schedule. And to be perfectly honest, I did it. I used all the, you know, not that it was any much money, but I used all that money for my daughter's college tuition. I didn't think anything of it. I just figured, all right, well, it's going to be a season of TV, and then I never thought in a million years it was going to take off. I mean, I would have bet my mortgage. I went right back to work after we finished filming. And the odd thing is we finished filming like that March, and they didn't air the first episode till September. And after the second episode aired, I got a phone call from the producer, the executive producer that created the show, and says, hey, we just got picked up for season 2. You're going to have to quit work and come back. You know, and I'm like, I'm not quitting work. What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
You know? So I was shocked. And I was, you know, he was also shocked by the quick response from the Travel Channel as far as them picking us up so quickly. I guess it had a really good... it had a really good response from the first couple episodes. So,
yeah,
I was happy about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I will say that we go through the shows, like all the paranormal shows, and at the studio, actually, we produce 2 shows that are on the air, and so I'm always going through and watching. And I will say, when I came across your show, I really liked the. The way it was presented, I like the way it's done. It's different than most, you know, groups going into a haunted place and just sort of investigating. So that's a
well,
nice,
yeah. I mean, that was the whole. Yeah, I mean, that was the whole reason I did the show. I wasn't going to go do a paranormal show. I mean, when I got approached to do it, I turned it down. you know, I wanted nothing to do with the, you know, running around with a flashlight and yelling in the dark at somebody that's not there, or, you know, being antagonistic. And, you know, I'm a detective. I'm a retired homicide detective. I'm not going to ruin my integrity or my reputation just to be on television. So I made it very clear to the producers, I'm not, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And, you know, and to their credit, they took what I said and what Amy said as far as her protocol, the way she works, to heart. And we never, you know, escape from that method. This is the way we do it. And, you know, we stay. I mean, you can see a difference between season one and season two as far as the way the format, the way the producers change things a little bit. Like, but other than that, everything else is, the meats and potatoes of it stay the same.
Right, right. So we should tell the people now where you came from. Now, you were born in New York, and so now you were working for the, you were a policeman for a while, 20 years or something?
Yeah, it's almost 22 years. I was a homicide detective in New York. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I went away 3 years. I served 3 years in the Marine Corps, came home. 2 weeks after I got discharged, I went to the police academy. So I went from one service to another, and I worked my way into the homicide squad, unlike the way TV portrays or what people think happens. I started out on a foot post, you know, walking a beat to a radio car, to plainclothes, to work on narcotics, to get into the detective bureau, and then finally into the homicide squad, where I worked, you know, I worked very hard to get where I got. So...
Right.
It's not like TV and you know, people get on my Facebook, they're like, oh, I want to be a CSI or I want to be a homicide detective. How do I, you know, it's just, that doesn't happen like that. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
And basically, ABC News did a documentary on the NYPD called NYPD 24/7. I was the featured detective in the homicide squad in the first episode that aired. They did 7 episodes. And they had filmed us for like 16 months. And I think 2 years after that, it finally aired. And it won an Emmy. It was the most watched documentary in ABC News history. Like, it was seen by like 40 million people worldwide. So apparently some producers in Hollywood saw it, some executives there, and somebody took notice of me, and I got a phone call asking if I was interested in doing television. And that's how this whole thing started. I didn't go out to be on TV or be an actor. It kind of fell on my lap.
Right. But has that affected you then, the sudden change? Like when you get on the media, now you know, Facebook and social media and TV and people, does that kind of put you on guard a little, or sort of, has it changed your life somewhat?
Oh, it changed it dramatically. I mean, I never had Facebook or Twitter or any of this stuff prior to the show, and I'm contractually obligated to have it. And to be honest with you, if I didn't have to do it, I interact a lot with the fans on Facebook, which is a good thing because, you know, I'm really loyal to my fans, but they're loyal to us. So for me, it's actually a good thing. I think when the show ends, I'll probably get rid of both Facebook and Twitter. I wouldn't go back on it. It's not me, you know. It's just, yeah. If I want to talk to somebody, I pick up the phone and I call them. You know, that's the type of guy I am. But it's changed dramatically for me because I went from a job where everybody hated me for 22 years to everybody all of a sudden loving me and for doing absolutely nothing heroic. Whereas before, I should have been loved for the things I did do, and now I'm doing things they think are heroic, which aren't, and people are loving me for it. So it's a very odd feeling to be loved and admired and thought of in a high regard for something I think is, you know, for me, the least dangerous thing I've ever done in my life. So it's a little interesting.
Yeah. It's sort of society's that way, you know.
Yeah, it is.
I could never understand it. You know, maybe it's just getting old, but it just seems weirder every day. So I understand that. I was brought up, you know, with we had a lot of, you know, we had respect for police, and we had, And just general rules. You know, God, you know, I couldn't imagine doing half the things people do or saying things. And my dad would give me a backhand. You know, it would just, it just kind of makes me roll my eyes because it's, I don't think it's the right direction, but, you know, I'm only one person, so, you know.
Well, you know, I tell a story all the time. You know, I got locked up by the cops as a juvenile, you know, a couple of times, and the beating I got from my father was worse than anything the cops ever did to me before getting arrested, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I just, I can't.
You know, today everybody yells at the cops for arresting the kids instead of the parents taking control and slapping the shit out of them like they should be.
Yeah, where's the fear? You know, not that I think fear is great, but, you know, there's a certain amount of respect that comes with that, you know, a certain amount of doing the right thing. I mean, kids will do things, but it's just gone a little bit overhand, you know. So I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
You know, because your police work was probably, you know, it's very important to you, and it's more important to society maybe than a show. But, yeah, that's the way it is. So in your show now, you get into you take a very solid approach. So it's like being a detective still. So you do a lot of research in the history of the location, what happened there, and what's going on now. So you're taking more of a scientific approach, I guess I would say. You know, it's just
it's a pragmatic investigation for me. It's nothing to do with the paranormal.
Yeah.
It's witness testimony, it's research, it's just like a regular investigation, somewhat, but the perpetrator just being the paranormal.
Yeah. How does that make you feel about it? Because in your 22 years, you weren't chasing perpetrators that were, you know, ghosts or whatever. You were chasing real people.
Right.
You know, so this is different. So you could track down and find out and kind of investigate. So this, you're investigating things happening, and you're kind of like, I mean, you're not going to catch this perpetrator, right? So does that kind of leave you know?
In a sense, I don't. I actually have a better way of catching a perpetrator because of Amy.
Right.
You know, without her abilities and her knowledge of paranormal, we can never figure out what people need to do. And with my help trying to pinpoint who the person may be that's haunting a location, it gives her a better understanding on how to solve it. So it's really a two totally different investigations that come together, and it's the only way to make it work. Her going in there not knowing who this person or who that person may be or who they were in life will not help her in her effort to tell them how to get rid of this entity or this person. But my background, I can say, well, this is who this guy was in life, and then it makes sense to her, and she's like, all right, well, now that I know he was A, B, and C, or she was A, B, and C, this is how we're going to approach getting rid of her.
Right.
And without both of us, I mean, me doing the show by myself is not going to do anything. Her doing the show by herself would not do anything. Nobody would watch it. It's the combination of the two that makes it such a compelling and interesting, you know, I hate to call it a TV show, but an investigative show, I call it.
Yeah. I'm taking it now that, now, when you, in your younger days, did you have any experiences with the paranormal, or did you have any of that?
No.
You know?
No, not a one. Never have, and never since. You know, I've been called the diffuser by several mediums, where paranormal seems to leave the room when I walk in. So, I don't ask me why. I was called that several times. I was taken aback by it. You know, I've said this before, because what does that mean? I'm not a nice person, because I consider myself a good man. And then, no. It's just your energy overwhelms. Kind of takes over a room, and the paranormal just kind of leaves. There's no reason, you know, it won't stay there. Which is probably the main reason I never have an experience in all these haunted locations we go into.
Right. So does it kind of like, I guess, for better words, kind of freak you out or blow you away when Amy comes up with a lot of the same things that you found in your investigation?
Yeah, I mean, we're currently filming our 106th episode here in Florida right now. I'm on location, and which was nice because I live in Florida now, so it was a quick drive.
Yeah.
With horror, it's always, I'm still always astonished. Like, when I worked the streets and I saw another dead body, it didn't affect me anymore after a while. I became numb to it, unless it was a child, of course. But I've seen thousands and thousands upon dead bodies and murders, but yet every week she'll say something I know she has zero knowledge of. It just still amazes me how she comes up with these things and how she knows it. So for somebody to have that kind of ability, I don't think I'll ever get used to it like I did police work. Like, I'll never get numb, so to speak, to her abilities. I'll always be fascinated that she's able to come up with these things.
Yeah. Has that changed your perspective on paranormal? Like, has it changed since, like, now? Do you have a different feel of the paranormal than you did before the shows?
Well, you know what? I was raised Catholic, Roman Catholic, where, you know, there's heaven, hell, and purgatory, right?
Yeah.
You said to your mother growing up, hey, Ma, I saw a ghost, you tell you shut up and go to bed, right?
Yeah.
No such thing. Obviously, there's something going on. I'm very open-minded when it comes to paranormal, when it comes to a lot of things. So, for me, the biggest change I've had towards the paranormal is all the different ways of when people die, how they're stuck, who's in their death state, who doesn't know they're dead, a fractured soul, you know, stuff like that that just, you know, I don't know where Amy's coming up with this stuff, but I take it and I listen to it and I say to myself, well, Christ, I hope I don't end up stuck. And I hope all my loved ones that have passed did move on where they were supposed to go. Because I wouldn't want anybody I loved or knew to not know they're dead or confused or, you know, that part of it kind of bothers me a little bit. I almost wish I didn't know.
Yeah. And so does that make you want to pursue that? Like, you know, in past, you know, people that you've loved that passed on, have you ever wanted to pursue being in contact with them or going to a medium?
No, I just, I get that question a lot. Did Amy ever do a reading on you? Did you ever go? I've never been interested in any of that. Not that I don't care. I'd rather, you know, not know.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I'm not interested in that. You know, I don't want to open up a can of worms and then stay up at night thinking about it.
Yeah. It affects the life. Is there a certain episode now that that you're filming even now in this new season that kind of affects you or sticks out? Like, you know, when you go to a certain place and it stays with you. For a long period.
That's interesting you say that. We just did an episode, one of the first ones we did during this filming season. And the audience has got to understand, they think when we're filming in real time, which is, I don't know how people think that. It's incredible to me. You know, we did, with the episodes that are going to start airing in January, we filmed last winter up until July. I mean, this stuff has to get edited, and it takes time for all that, so... the new season will start in July. The episodes we're filming now, I mean, starts in January. I apologize. The stuff we're filming now will be aired later in 2016. But to get back to your question, yeah, this season, one of the first episodes we did, this was a first for me, actually. I think it was our 100th or 101st episode where... people in the house were being attacked physically, getting scratched and all that. And I was outside the house just taking a quick break in between interviews because the crew has to reset up locations and lights and everything. And I hear screaming coming from the house. So I go running in, and sure enough, the daughter that had been attacked previously was getting attacked, and you could see the scratches forming on her chest. And I've never seen anything like that before. So that was pretty, that stuck in my head. It was pretty wild.
Wow.
You know, they actually filmed the whole action of me coming running in because, you know,
yeah.
Cameras weren't rolling, but they grabbed the camera and they were like, you know, I hear screaming. So I go, you know, I, the cop in me kicked in, and I went running in. I didn't think anything paranormal.
Yeah.
But the mother was there reciting the Bible and, you know, verses from the Bible. And there was the daughter who was a teenage daughter, you know, an older teenager. And she had these claw marks that just appeared on her chest, which was pretty wild even for me to see. And I think I've seen it all. So that kind of stuck out.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. And is there shows in the previous seasons, too, that kind of like go, wow, and you still think about or still come up in your mind?
No, not so much the stuff that happens, but some of the clients I still think about. Because I get close to the clients. I talk to them before we even go out there. I spend a lot of time with them on location. I'm in touch with a lot of them afterwards, you know, via Facebook or phone calls and stuff like that. So it's not so much the actual case for me as much as it is the individuals, you know, the clients themselves.
Right.
So I, you know, if I'm back in town in an area where a client, previous client was, you know, I'll meet them, go out to dinner and have drinks and stuff. Because, you know, it's not about me and Amy. It's about the client. You know, in my book, in my opinion. I mean, Amy may feel differently, but for me, it's not about the Amy show. It's not about the Steve show. It's not about the Matt show. It's about the client. That's who it's about. It's not about the Dead Files people that are on the show every week. It's the clients that's most important. And that's what sticks out to me more so than the actual events that they went through, is the clients themselves.
Right. So that's kind of like what drives you in the show, is the clients.
Yeah, for me it does. I mean, it drove me as a detective, you know. It's not about, oh, what's the best, you know, because you look at the locations we go through. I mean, we're in some places where the Chick-fil-A is the five-star restaurant. It's not like we're going to Tahiti and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon, like, you know, we'll get a decent location. It's not like we're going any place exotic where you say, oh, what a great show that you get to travel and go to. You know, I'm in a Hampton Inn right now. You know,
yeah.
It's not the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah. No. I
know. So for me, it's not about. Yeah. If there's no luxury involved in doing the Dead Files, despite what people think as far as television goes.
Yeah.
I do it for the clients. I mean, there's no greater satisfaction than being able to hug somebody at the end of an investigation and say, "Well, now you know what the hell's going on in your house, and this is how you're going to fix it."
Yeah.
You know, whether they take Amy's advice is up to them, but I don't live there; they have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's quite interesting. Do you know and for myself, I know that I've been on a few shows. I'm like you in the sense that I wasn't really into being on so much and being recognized. So do you find it a problem? Do you like to watch yourself on TV? Do you like to watch the shows?
Oh, no, no. Oh, hell no. I don't watch myself at all. I hate watching myself. The only time I'll watch myself is if it's a new episode, and if I'm around, I'll live tweet with the fans because they love that stuff, and I enjoy interacting with them. I see myself on TV, I cringe, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, people see me, they're like, oh my God, you lost so much weight. I'm like, no, I'm the same weight I've been for the last 4 years. Goddamn television is just,
yeah.
You know, makes you look like a, you know, beast.
Yeah, no.
That's one reason I don't like watching it.
Yeah, hard to get used to.
But I have no interest in. I have no interest in watching myself.
And so, do you watch the other shows in your category? I mean,
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
No. You mean like other ghost shows?
Yeah,
no,
like no,
not at all.
No,
I don't. No, I don't. I didn't before, and I don't now because people are like, oh, don't you want to watch your competition? I, you know, in my opinion, nobody can compete with us. We do a very different type of show, an investigation. So, I don't worry about competition. I don't worry about what the other guy's doing. I like what I watch, you know, I watch my, you know, my shows like Homeland, Ray Donovan, you know, stuff like that. I'm not into the paranormal shows. I've met a lot of people in the industry and I support them. Like I'm friends with Kim Russo. You know, I'll turn on her show once in a while to say, you know, just to see how she's doing. But I just have no interest in it. It's kind of odd to say that being the kind of work I'm doing, but my interest is not in the paranormal as much as it is the client.
Right. Yeah. No, I can understand that totally. I know what you mean. So
it's like I don't watch cop shows either, you know.
Right. Yeah, there's
No, I don't watch cop shows.
Well, what does influence you? Like what kind of things do you like to watch or listen to?
You know what? I'm a big DIY guy. I love watching how to fix things. And, you know, when I was married, I had my own house. I was always doing projects in the house. So, you know, I like to watch those type of shows. You know, being on the road so much, it's hard to even get into a show. The Walking Dead's one of my favorite shows. That's like a, you know, I'm a diehard Walking Dead fan. And, you know, the stuff, you know, and I think everybody is. I mean, I wish I had that kind of viewership. you know, and that, again, is another show. It's not about zombies. It's about the characters on the show. You know, everybody says, oh, it's a zombie show. No, it's about the characters on the show.
Yeah.
So Sunday nights are torn between I tape Homeland, The Walking Dead, and then I watch Sunday Night Football live, and then watch the shows later on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a much better world with DVRs, eh?
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Forget about it. Without DVRs, we'd be screwed.
Yeah. So, where do you see yourself going? Like, you're just going to keep on working with this, but what if the show ends, and eventually it will for whatever reasons, you know?
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going after that?
Yeah. It's a good question. I did a radio show a couple of days ago out in Sarasota. I was asked that question. I had some side project that I was working on called Blue Plate. It was a food show about me and cops and getting involved with cops and showing us what to eat. I was hoping that would take off. We're going to see where that goes. I've been offered some other type of shows, but you know what? TV, for me, I think if the Blue Plate thing doesn't take off and the show ends, I'll probably go back to, I'll get out of TV business altogether. I have really no interest in not knowing. Notice it's a tough business because you never know when your next, you know, some guy can come in or some woman can come in and make a decision that will affect 50 people. You know, it's not knowing every season whether you're coming back or not is not a great way of living. You know, I came from a civil service mentality of like, listen, as long as I didn't mess up, I knew I had a check coming in every 2 weeks. You know, I had this, I had that. I the whole industry of TV and not knowing if you're coming back, like happened to us last year, we had no idea if we were coming back or not at the end of filming. We all thought it was the last, because we had no indication whatsoever we were coming back. And you know what? That's a real crappy feeling to have, and I don't want that feeling ever again. So for me, I don't know where I'm going to end up, but it probably won't be in television.
Yeah,
I would think.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. You can get swapped out for business anytime. That's show business, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and if it went by ratings, I wouldn't worry about it because our ratings are through the roof.
Yeah.
But it just seems that nobody's really interested in our show, in promoting it and trying to see it do better. It's almost as if we're the redheaded stepchild nobody wants, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
How did that affect you? Like, so coming from police, you have friends that are cops and all that. How was it for you making that transition into the show with your friends?
My close friends were very supportive. You know, they were like, I mean, first of all, they know how I am in reality, so when the way I'm portrayed on the show is the way I would be during an investigation, but they like, where's the real Steve, like the funny Steve and the guy everybody wants to hang out with Steve. I says, well, it's not that type of show, and that's why that blue plate kind of brought my real personality out in the forefront. They've been supportive. They still are. Some of the guys that like, oh, you really believe this Amy crap? Oh, come on, you drank the Kool-Aid. And, you know, I'm like, whatever. Listen, work with her for a week, then talk to me,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, for the most part, my close friends are very, very supportive, you know? And they said if anybody was going to get chosen to do television, it would have been you, because they know, you know, not that I'm a character, but, like, I have a pretty alpha, overwhelming personality.
Yeah, yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it works really well. And I think that from what I've heard and see, I think you would do well in another show with more of your character, more personality, because I think a lot of people think you're serious, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I get a message on Facebook or Twitter after I get back from a little, you know, let's say I'm out shopping, and it says, Steve, I think I saw you in Walmart, and I was afraid to approach you. And I'm like, why would you be afraid to approach me? And I hate that the show portrays me in such a, I hate using that word, tough guy role, but like in such a serious role that people think I'm unapproachable. And I'm such opposite of that. And any fan that meets me and they'll tell you that, you know, I'm very cordial and very outgoing. And, you know, I'll buy them a drink and hang out and talk for a while. I always give time to the fans. I think when that blue plate thing I did that was on the Travel Channel website, you could see my real personality. You got to understand, my real personality on the Dead Files is what I did when I was working. You know, you got to be serious when you're doing an investigation. But there is times you can't be funny and have a few laughs. I'm not saying you laugh with the client because they're going through hell, but if I'm talking to an expert, there's no reason there can't be some laughter involved. I mean, why can't be so... And there is a lot of laughter sometimes, and it gets on the cutting room floor. And it annoys me to a point, like, you know, can't you at least show one little fun part of my character? And they just, you know, it's TV, and it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was hoping, you know, we're hoping this, you know, if the blue plate thing comes around, that's something that'll really show the real Steve as far as his off-duty personality, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be good. I mean, you know, go for it. Pursue it, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of that stuff is not up to me. Unfortunately, it's...
No.
It's people are making decisions that I have no control over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, what do you say about the naysayers or people that do approach you on, your public, you know, your Facebook and things like that, that say that it's they're kind of negative, let's say. Do you really have any words for them, or do you just sort of leave it?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I don't have any. I don't get negative feedback on my page or my Twitter. I find out from fans that people are talking bad about Amy. It's usually the negative feedback. Sometimes I'll get a feedback like, how can you sell yourself out? She's a fake. And all this other stuff. I don't even entertain them. Guys like that or women like that, I won't even entertain their rhetoric about Amy's abilities, because, you know, I know what she's about, and that's all that matters. The diehard fans know what she's about, and that's all that matters. There's so many followers that are believers of Amy's ability and what we do that, I don't even have to say anything, because the fans attack these people. I mean, some of it on Facebook is pretty amazing. You know? Yeah. So I just kind of sit back and watch the pit bulls go at it, because our fans are very, very, very loyal towards Amy and I.
So that brings up a little social stuff. How do you feel about the way it's going right now with the world, or with even the U.S. now with the way social media is, and the way people are, and the way that everybody's sort of a lot of squabbling, a lot of fighting going on, and then all the stuff about bad stuff about cops now and stuff. It must be really hard, because you're so involved in it. You know what it is to do the job, and so it must be more personal for you.
Yeah, you know, I just. I try not to get into politics on my Facebook page or Twitter, because it just opens, like I said, a can of worms. But every once in a while, I have to throw my opinion out there. Like, listen, I'm a former Marine. I'm a former New York City detective and cop for 22 years. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody's going to badmouth the military or the police to me. So I don't care if one cop does something bad, there's 8 million other cops doing something good every day. So I try not to get into that battle, because you're never going to win. Because, you know, I learned a long time ago, if you try to fight everybody that's a naysayer, at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to be sorry about it, because it's just a waste of time. I worry about our country. I know we're going to get attacked again. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith in our government whatsoever. I have no faith in this administration, and I'm very blunt about that. It's just that and it always does a 180. We did this for years. I mean, I'm 52 because I've seen it. You know, we went from the Carter years to the Reagan years, and then, you know, it's just, we go from a country being so strong to so weak, back to being strong again to so weak. And it's frustrating. You know, I'm the middle of the road type of guy politically. I consider myself they call it a centrist now. It used to be a moderate. Now to the centrist.
Yeah.
It frustrates me when I watch. Like, I don't like the right or the left. You know, so on both sides, the left is ridiculous, and the right's ridiculous. So just because I own firearms and I post a picture of me going to the range, people think I'm an advocate for everybody to walk around with guns, and I'm not.
No.
I don't think 90% of the public should be armed. I think people that are trained and know what they're doing is fine. I'm not a big fan of the just Joe Schmo walking around with being able to have a firearm. But we do have the Second Amendment, and everybody has a right to bear arms and to protect themselves. So there's that, freedom isn't free. There's a reason why people die for our freedom, so that we have these rights. It's just tough for me, you know. I just have so many opinions that people think I have an opinion one way, and they don't. When they find out I don't, they kind of get shocked by it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's sort of part of the issue. You know, everybody wants to label everybody and blame each other through, you know, left-right views or something. It's just kind of like, well, no, how about just listening to the person and see what they have to say rather than just judge. You know, it's just it's crazy. Right.
You know, all these recent shootings. You know, where people are like, oh my God, we got to do stricter gun laws. I'm like, stricter gun laws are not going to stop the bad guy from getting a gun.
Yeah.
We live in a violent world with violent people in it, and there's only one way to deal with violent people, and that's through extreme prejudice and violence. You can't coddle violent people.
Yeah.
That's simple. They need to be exterminated and taken off the planet. That's it. There's no debate about that. No matter whether it's an Islamic terrorist or if it's a homegrown terrorist. I don't care who it is. Or if it's the drug dealer on the street just shooting wildly at another drug dealer and then hitting a poor kid in a carriage. Those people need to be dealt with in a violent manner. They can't be coddled. And, you know, people don't want to hear that because it's not PC. Well, PC is too bad, you know. Yeah. PC is going to ruin this country.
Yeah, 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 it's definitely. And that's all part of the social media thing, you know. I think it's crazy.
Well,
you know.
Well, you know, it's, you know, you see who's empathetic towards the ISIS, and you look at them, they're all 20-something-year-olds, 18 to 20-something-year-olds, and I'm like, what the hell is going on with these, you know, these kids? What are they thinking? And I don't know whether to blame them or blame the parents that raised them. I really don't know where to put the blame on this.
Yeah.
It's just that I was raised a certain way. My daughter was raised a certain way. So they have ideology of the 60s, but with the wrong causes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it makes no sense today.
Yeah, no, I know. It's confusing. And as you get older, it seems to get harder. I noticed that myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm 52, which is not really old, but it's not young, but yet I don't know. Maybe I shake my head sometimes. I say, maybe I am old. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do the same. I'm turning into my dad. You know, I'm 53, so I understand. I just... I look at it and think, God, am I turning into my dad? But it's just...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of hoping that's it in a way. I'm hoping that's, you know, our parents probably thought the same about us with things that we were doing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I'm hoping that they work it out, you know. I don't know. It is kind of scary. But.
Well, you know what? I have a tattoo I just had finished on my arm. It's a 9/11 tribute tattoo. And on the top of it, it says, never forget. And it's got, you know, it's a beautifully designed tattoo. Myself and my tattoo guy designed it together. And people need to never forget. The way my father was a World War II vet, so I was a change of life baby. You think that generation forgot Pearl Harbor?
No.
Hell no.
No.
Our generation, for some reason, the 20-year-olds now don't even know. I just read somewhere a college in Wisconsin didn't want to do a service for memorial for 9/11 for a minute of silence because they thought it would offend Muslim students. What kind of bull crap is that?
I mean,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I want to know who made that decision and smack them right in the friggin' head.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to offend anybody, so we're not going to take a moment of silence for to remember 9/11. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it just boggles my mind when I read stuff like this.
And I see it all the time. And on one of the other shows, we're dealing with a lot of the Truther series and stuff. It's just really, it's crazy when they're saying things about 9/11 like it wasn't real, you know.
Yeah, that's like saying the Holocaust didn't happen. You know, it's the same thing.
I never know what to say in an interview when they're telling me that 9/11 wasn't real. It was just like, and when we're alive and you have people calling in saying, you know, I saw the plane, I was there. It's just like you don't know what to say, right? It's just there's some craziness out there.
See, and you know, here I am. I'm a guy that barely made it out alive that day. I'm a first responder. I barely made it out alive. And I'd love to have that person in front of me instead of on the phone telling me that, because I think my reaction would be a lot more of a a wake-up call to them than, and you know, people are very tough over the phone and on social media.
Yeah.
They talk a lot of crap because, when you know, you're behind a keyboard, you feel like you're Popeye. You can say with your tough guy, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I think when you get these people in front of you, physically in front of you, I think they would think twice before they open their big mouths and talk nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Well, and actually, and I was going to ask about your relationship with Amy. So now, do you guys have a pretty social relationship as well, or is it just strictly business?
No, me and Amy are strictly business. It's we're very two different people. Politically, socially, we're very different. So, we're cordial with each other. We're nice and we're friendly, but we're not, we're not partying together.
Right.
It's a partnership with, and we don't talk to each other during the investigation at all. So if anybody thinks that's crap, that's totally true. Normally, we never stay in the same hotel together. I stay with the crew in one hotel, she's in another hotel, and that's for, the integrity of the investigation. She lives in L.A., I live in Florida, so there's no social hanging out there. We just come from different backgrounds. I mean, we look at things differently, that's for sure.
Yeah, it works better for sure.
It does. I mean, it's kind of a good thing that we don't get to know each other too well, because you'll see that on TV, you know.
Yeah.
I think so. For me, I think it works out better that we're not hanging out on Thanksgiving together and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it makes more sense. You know, it becomes more real that way too, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just because your partner's. Doesn't mean you have to be friends together, you know, socially.
Yeah.
I worked with guys for years I never hung out with, but I worked with them in on cases, but I never hung out with them after work.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree totally. Well, Steve, it's been very, very nice talking to you. I think you're doing a great job, and, thank you for everything you've done.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's nice to...
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah, this is fantastic. I love having real people that you can talk to about things, and it's nice. It's a good conversation. So.
Yeah, sometimes I get a little heated when I talk about politics, so I apologize.
No, I mean, it's just a passion. It's a passion you have about caring about the country and the people, and there's nothing wrong with that passion. That's why, even that's the problem with... politically correct things. It's just because but there's nothing wrong with being human and giving your opinion, and this is what you feel, and it's for a good reason. It's because you care about what's going on. That's what we
absolutely
need. We need more of that, and
that's
what makes the country stronger, not that's in my
not weaker
opinion. So no, I appreciate it, and there are people that do. So maybe it's just us older ones. I don't know. I don't know.
I think you might be right, Al. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. But thanks for taking your time. I know you've got a busy schedule and you got lots going on. So I appreciate the time and.
Mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you!
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.